in Newark, New Jersey. Hi, Owen. You're on with Jimmy Akin on Catholic Answers Live.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Sure.
Jimmy, I wanted to ask you about an encounter that I had with
aliens?
Sort of evangelizers.
Oh, darn. I was hoping for aliens. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no. It was sort of an evangelizer for a religion called the World Society Church of God.
Uh-huh.
And basically, the fundamental basis of her argument, and I guess her theology as well, was that there is a God the Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, there's two gods, God a male and a female God.
Right.
And basically, she made a couple of points to back up her claim in the Bible. In Genesis, where God says, let us make man in our image, she says, who else could God have been talking to but another God?
Mm-hmm.
And she says that because there are humans and we are male and female, then that also proves that there is a male and female God. But finally, she also said that another way to prove it is that she referenced the passage in the Bible that says, our mother Jerusalem, who is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never heard that part about that at all. And I'm wondering how to respond with these sorts of assertions.
Yeah, well, it's not surprising that these would come across as a little surprising, because the church that you mention is a very new one. It is based in South Korea, and they had a gentleman who founded it who claimed to be a divine incarnation, and then his wife, who is still alive, purports to be God the Mother, and she lives in South Korea. And if you go on the internet, you can look up their Wikipedia page and see pictures of her and stuff like that. But these are very theologically unheard of claims. In terms of talking about Jerusalem, our mother, let's do that one first. It's real clear, Jerusalem is not a person. Jerusalem is a city. And so consequently, it's not a single individual. It's a collection of individuals, because that's what a city is. It's a collection of people. And heaven doesn't have a geographical location, so the city is understood metaphorically, but it's still represented in the New Testament as a collection of people, and it's contrasted, for example, with the earthly Jerusalem. So just like there is no earthly Jerusalem woman, and certainly wasn't in Paul's time, when Paul's therefore talking about the heavenly Jerusalem, there is no heavenly Jerusalem woman as a single individual. You can depict the bride of Christ that way, and Revelation does, but when we actually see the bride of Christ, the new Jerusalem, in Revelation, and that's towards the end of the book, like in chapters 21 and 22, you see a city. You don't see a single woman. You see the bride of the Lamb. John's told this is the bride of the Lamb, but then what he actually sees is a city with pearly gates and streets of gold and the tree of life lining the river and so forth. And so you get a very clear indication that heavenly Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, is a collective entity and not that represents the Christian church as a whole and not a single individual woman. In terms of the Genesis passage, okay, well, was there anybody else that God could have been talking to at the time? Sure. Angels. That's obvious. That's in fact a common interpretation of this passage. This is that God is talking to the angels and that he's using a specific form of address that's sometimes called the associative we. If I were to say, suppose I was proposing, this is an example from a Protestant scholar named Michael Heiser, supposing I was going to buy pizza for me and Jerry here, and I could say, Jerry, let's order pizza. I'm the one who's going to buy it because I'm the one who's planning to order it.
Cool.
But I could still, say, let's do this. And so I'm associating you with me, even though I'm the one who's actually going to do this. That's another possibility. Another possibility that's been discussed, and this is actually a fairly common interpretation, is that this is the members of the Trinity talking to each other, not three gods, but three persons in the one God. And the fact there's only one God is actually really clear. Not only is it really clear from other passages of Scripture, like, for example, in Isaiah, where God says, I am the Lord and there is no other. There was no God formed before me, neither shall there be another after me. So he makes monotheism really clear. But even here in Genesis, when it says the Lord made man or God made man, sometimes people have pointed out that the word used for God in this passage is Elohim, which has a plural form. But you can't, and I talk about this actually in my book, A Daily Defense, you can't use that to say it's therefore talking about more than one God, because there are words that, even though they're plural in form, can be used singularly. An example of that in English is the word species. It's got an IES on the end of it, so that's plural form. And it can be plural, like if I were to say, these species are all carnivorous. I'm obviously talking about more than one species. But if I said, this species is carnivorous, you'd know I'm talking about only one species. And so even though the word's plural in form, you have to look at the context. You have to look at the pronouns and the verbs to detect, is it being used singularly or plural? Like if I say these, you know it's more than one. These are. If I say this is, you know it's only one. And that's what happens with Elohim in the Old Testament. Sometimes it's used plural, in a plural fashion to refer to more than one God. But here in Genesis, you can tell by the verbs that are used for create, where it talks about God creating man, and by the pronouns that are used here, they're all singular. And so that shows us that in Genesis, the creative activity is the product of a single God, not a multiplicity of gods or even a divine pair, but only a single God.
Hope that helps you, Owen. Thanks for listening to Catholic Answers Live, and join us again anytime.